Oh, in remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
All right, by what? Get out! Another right by what? Another right! Uppercut by what? A right by what? A right by what? An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Welcome in, everybody. Welcome. Hello. Hey. Hey, guys. Hey, it's the Sports Flood. How about them apples? Glad to have you aboard. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood as of right now. Expecting some, as James Spann would call them, isolated tornadoes. Which, by the way, not the coolest thing in the world to have to hear. Also kind of one of those throwaways that if you're in the South, you're apparently just supposed to, I guess, take. Oh, you know, it's going to be some heavy rain at times, some damaging hail could be there, and, you know, a few isolated tornadoes. Anyway, I'm James Spann. Isolated tornadoes? That should be a little more of, like, at the front of your weather forecast. Oh, guys, there could be some isolated tornadoes and some heavy wind and rain, maybe some localized flooding, but definitely want to watch out for the isolated tornadoes. You know, seeing as they're probably the most dangerous thing that's going to happen. I won't tell James Spann how to do his job. He can tell me how to do mine, though. Glad to have you aboard. 866-485-9867 is your phone number to get in. We got 2 full hours, no Braves interruption today. They are way later today. I believe at 5:50, I want to say that they'll be on today. But you know what? You guys will hear them later. That's cool. That's cool. 100% happy to have you aboard. It's going to be a great show. We have a lot to talk about. And I'm not joking. Sometimes I say it and I don't even mean it. You know, sometimes I'm like, we got a lot to talk about. And I ain't got jack for you. I'm just here to just shoot into the breeze and hope something sticks, and we spend 2 hours on it. Today's show is action-packed. And it's action-packed, by the way, without NBA playoff talk and without NHL playoff talk. How does that happen in this time of year? I'll tell you why. When Jim Harbaugh decides to start inviting people from all over the country to the University of Michigan, when everybody in the country, or at least in the Southeast, is worried about those satellite camps. When the Kansas City Royals are becoming Richards all the time. When Tennessee has more players named in investigations for sexual assault / rape. When a guy who's going to get drafted in the NFL from LSU apparently failed multiple drug tests at LSU. When a WNBA star gets popped for domestic violence, and a former champion of all time says he's a woman. That's how you have a show without talking about the NBA and NHL playoffs. Because, for all intents and purposes, them things is over. Well, not all of them, but some of them. Most of them are. Most of these first rounds are over. So we will welcome your participation in as well. There's going to be a lot to throw in opinions on. On Twitter, it's at Arky Shea, A-R-K-Y-S-H-E-A. It's at The Sports Flood, at Wump730, and not the least of which is at the producer, at Magic Mike Rose. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Arky.
Sounded a little...
I'm a little hot today. Yeah. The mic's a little hot.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on that.
Work on that. I don't know. It's hot on the morning show for me sometimes. I used to always think that it would be whenever I would turn my, like, put my headphone, my cans, like put them like next to the mic, so I'd turn over and it would make a squealing sound. Apparently that's not it.
No.
Apparently I'm just too hot. Too hot.
Yes, too hot.
Too hot for TV.
Call the police and the firemen right now.
We don't need no water. Let this radio show burn. I'm sure a lot of you guys are feeling that way. That's okay. So your participation is welcomed as well. I would like to say it was very cool last night being at the Christopher Titus Comedy Show. That thing was bananas. Dude was hilarious. Like every 5 seconds was a roar of laughter. Not even kidding.
The rise of the Titus hits Huntsville, didn't it?
Titus is awesome. And he was at the Chan Auditorium, and those SOBs at the Chan Auditorium did him dirty. Because in that auditorium, they came in, they had nobody to run audio equipment. One microphone for two people to talk. They had to do a microphone exchange on stage between the opening act and him. By the way, she was very, very funny, too. Very funny.
Who was she?
I had to look that up.
Well, then, I guess that's how much of an impact she made.
Well, she made an impact. She was very funny. It's just I had not seen her before. Here's the great thing about comedy. You don't have to know these names for them to be funny. I'm trying to remember who I saw. How great he is. He's like an old comic who was always playing at, like, the Stardome. And I didn't know who he was. And I went there and had one of the best times of my life. I don't know what it is about having to get a hit. And Titus is a hit, by all means. I mean, he's had, I think this is his 7th Comedy Central special. It'll be out next week on Comedy Central. Or 6th. 6th or 7th. He's had his own Fox TV show, sitcom. So he's been all over the place. Has his own podcast, which probably shouldn't be number one in the credits. But he's super funny, and everyone's seen him. And if you've seen his picture, you would know him. Yet, the guy I saw at the Birmingham Stardome was just a no-name comic. For an hour, was just hilarious. It was just ridiculously funny. He was like, how come this dude has a hit? I don't know how you figure that out. But he was great. And it was very cool to meet one of the listeners, Howie Durham, last night. He and his missus were out at the show. It was very cool. I was getting out of my car to go in, and I was yelling at Mrs. Arkey.
Why were you yelling at Mrs. Arkey?
Well, because she could have been in a better mood. I don't think she really knew who Christopher Titus was. I think certain things that happen around certain times of the month was happening. And I just want to say,
that's a little too much there, buddy.
I was like, hey, baby, I need to get my key fob fixed. And she was just ignoring me. I was like, hey, this important news. Hey, my key fob, I need to get this fixed. And then he recognized me. He recognized me not from my voice, from my picture.
You do have a very distinctive look. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, pear. I have the pear look.
I wouldn't put it that way, but all right. Yeah, go
with
it. By
the way, I'm allowed to say that she's experiencing certain things when she actually tells me.
All right, but I don't need to hear this.
No, you do.
The listeners don't need to hear about what Mrs. Arkey's going through right now.
Do they need to hear that I went to a comedy show? No.
No. I mean,
they have to hear it.
There's God. No, I don't know what to think anymore.
There's no option. No option. You guys tuned in or tuned out. So he was very, very, very funny. Probably best comedy show I've ever been to. Best comedy show I've ever been to. And I was watching this guy, and I kept thinking, man, I'm funny, but I'm not funny. I'm not every 5 seconds you're wanting to fall out of your seat funny. It's crazy. I completely rechanged my routine last night. I rechanged my thinking. I don't know why I would say rechange. I changed my thinking. I revamped it. So the next comedy show you guys see me do, it's going to be awesome. And by the way, it could be next week in Jacksonville, Alabama. I don't want to put any pressure on the promoter there, but let's get this thing done. Anyway, sports. You know, satellite cans have become kind of a big issue this week for whatever reason. It's become really popular. to get this thing going. And part of it's because old Mr. Jim Harbaugh has been stoking the fires a little bit. You guys know the story that in a couple of months he's going to be in Prattville, which is about an hour and a half outside of Auburn, for those wondering. He's going to be at high school in Prattville as a guest, and his guests, coaches. And they're going to have basically what it turns into combines. Really into how fast. Who's this guy? Let's see if I can talk to him. Yada, yada, yada. It's kind of what this turns into. But we should know by now that the NCAA rules say that he cannot host the camp outside of 50 miles from his campus. Fine. But it doesn't mean you can't be a guest host. And that's what Jim Harbaugh is doing. No one in the Southeast likes that. Nobody. Especially the coaches. Gus Malzahn's against it. Nick Saban's against it. Mark Richt is against it. If we just bear in mind that this definitely is an NCAA issue, not yet. Because the NCAA says you can do this. The SEC said our schools won't do this. And really, at some point, we have to stop calling them schools because we're not talking about the Alabama Engineering Department taking on the Auburn Agriculture Department. We're talking about two football programs. The SEC says our member institutions, our football programs will not do this. I'm sure that goes for tennis too. And that's fine, except for when Jim Harbaugh starts to skirt around the rules. James Franklin tried to skirt around the rules. They're still fine rules. Mark Richt came out and was asked this week about these satellite camps. He says, it has come up in our league meetings, and I would prefer everybody stayed on their own campus, quite frankly. Mark Richt, not a fan of the satellite camps. Probably doesn't hurt that he's not allowed to do it. You guys may have heard of Gus Malzahn, the Auburn football coach. He says, quote, I think the SEC coaches last year made it clear that we'd like it to be that way throughout the country, meaning nobody do camps outside 50 miles of your campus. That was a stance after our last spring meetings, and I still feel the same. Interesting. And another coach you guys may have heard of, especially right here on the Yump, home of the Alabama Crimson Tide football, is Nick Saban. Nick Saban happened to be in good old Huntsville, Alabama, doing one of his Crimson Caravan Elephant Tours. And everybody was out there. Big Al was out there. Nick Saban was out there. I'm sure other people were out there, too. I just didn't hear from them. In fact, I think one of our listeners was there. Like, I think I saw him post pictures that said, best birthday present ever. And he had pictures with Big Al and the SEC Championship trophy. Which, by the way, not the coolest looking trophy. So say, just a big piece of wood. That argument's for another day. This is what Mr. Nick Saban being asked about. That very same topic.
Coming up, these satellite camps, a lot of the Big Ten teams are coming to this area. What are your thoughts on teams come to Alabama?
Well, you know, I think everybody's got to recruit, you know, the way that they should recruit. We're not allowed to have satellite camps in the SEC. I certainly think that, you know, we need to address this if it's going to be a competitive disadvantage and other people are going to, you know, have these kind of camps. So I think it's something that we'll probably address as a conference, and I think it's something that we ought to look at from an NCAA standpoint, because I think it's best to have a rule where, you know, people come to your campus, they can come to your camp. But if we're all going to travel all over the country to have satellite camps, you know, how ridiculous is that? I mean, we're not even allowed to go to All-Star Game, but now we're going to have satellite camps all over the country, so it doesn't really make sense.
So much delicious. You can accept that. We won't need that again. How ridiculous is that? Nick Saban, how ridiculous is your football facility? How much of that opulence is needed? Let me just start by saying Nick Saban, very smart man. And this will, not because Nick Saban says so, but this will become an NCAA issue. And only because the SEC is so powerful. Because they will, and they will make a fairly valid point. Because the only true argument here is that the SEC is not allowed to do it. Why are other conferences allowed to do it? But that's the only fair argument. And in that case, the argument is with Mike Slive and soon to be Greg Sankey, the incoming commissioner. The argument isn't with the NCAA, but we want to talk about having everybody a perceived level playing field, which it's not ever going to be a level playing field. We want to talk about the perceived level playing field. Probably going to get this just banned in general. Because this technically is what I like to call Jim Harbaugh's bump rule. Even though James Franklin did it first, this is the Jim Harbaugh bump rule, which is to say, what you're doing isn't illegal, but it's getting kind of gray area, and let's go ahead and just cut back on that.
Would this be a bigger story, or would it be as big of a story as it is, if Harbaugh wasn't coming to the home of college football, the state of Alabama?
No, it would not. There was a little fervor when James Franklin tried to do it, but guess how many players from Florida and Georgia Mr. James Franklin has on his roster? It's not going to take you long to guess. It's zero. So how much competitive advantage is there? Let's real talk. Okay, guys? Hashtag real talk. I hate that phrase. Let's real talk here.
All right, real talk.
The SEC is the cradle of football, without a doubt. Per capita, the most talent is in the South, per capita. Now, you can discuss Ohio having a lot of talent, and it does. You can discuss Texas having a lot of talent, and it does. You can discuss California having a lot of talent, and it does. But per capita, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, not Mississippi, not Tennessee, not Arkansas, really. But this cradle, Florida, but that's one of those more, Florida's more Texas than it is Georgia in this regard. The talent in the Southeast is what everybody wants. And by everybody, I mean anybody that's not able to do it well, let's say, in the West, who can go to California, which is like Florida, where you can get a whole lot of really good guys that are be under the radar because USC will get the top so many, UCLA will get the top so many, I'm sure UC Irvine gets a whole lot of people, the Anteaters will get somebody, I'm sure Cal Berkeley gets some people. And you got those West powers that'll get some guys. But very few programs are national recruiters. Alabama is really one of those only programs in the Southeast that is a national recruiter right now. Tennessee has been in the past. Florida has done a little bit of it. Georgia, not so much. Auburn, not so much.
Well, we can also go with Florida State in that as well, if you look at it.
But that's kind of...
I mean, it's still Southeast. It really is.
Yeah.
So, that's still part of it.
But granted, there's very few teams that are going nationally. So if you know your recruiting hotbed, which is for teams like Ohio State and Ohio, and some Michigan, where's all the other talent? All the talent that is the speed everyone talks about, the skill position players, are in these warmer climates, right? So you come here just to try to see if some guys will be interested. Here's your thing. Who's leaving this area that's been offered by Alabama and Auburn, and Tennessee, and Florida, or Florida State? Who's leaving this area for Penn State, for Northwestern, for Illinois, for Indiana? It's not a mass exodus. So what I'm saying is, chill your bones for a moment. Hashtag Real Talk says, this is not a real issue. Jim Harbaugh can offer every man, woman, and child in the state a scholarship. But if Nick Saban offered him the same scholarship, or if Gus Malzahn, or if Jimbo Fisher or if Mark Richt offer them the same scholarship, they ain't leaving. And it's multifactorial. I'll go with that word.
Multifactual.
I'm going factorial.
All right.
It sounds newer. It's multifactorial.
Just because it sounds newer doesn't mean it sounds better.
I like it though.
All right
like
then. It. If you like it, you go with it.
I will. It's multifactorial. I think it's at another earth. Because you're talking about the weather. There's the reason there's an exodus happening to the southeast in general. Because it's flipping cold up north in the winter. Secondly, upon that weather thought, how many games have you actually watched in the last, let's say, 10 years that have actually been in the snow? You can think of Ohio State, Minnesota, definitely last year. But how many? And how many, by the way, are happening in the southeast? Definitely no real shot of that. Missouri gets late home games now. And it was a big deal when we looked at the schedule and thought, oh, no, South Carolina is going to have to go to Missouri. It could be 42 degrees. How will they survive that? We deal with rain. We deal with chilly. But we don't deal with snow and bitter cold. And the guys like it that way. Third. It's not like we don't got good football teams down here. Got a whole bunch of them. I gladly show you a handful off the top of my head. There's water all around these parts. Hey, Ohio State, where's all your oceans? Ha! None! You got no ocean. You got no gulf. I got to go straight to your left to get to like a river. I don't want a river or a water park. All the institutions that are cool down here have great football programs. I want to play there. They're not bad academic institutions. The Big Ten probably has better ones, majority, but it's not like you're going to DeVry when you come to Tuscaloosa.
Ooh.
It's not like you're going to the University of Phoenix Online when you head down to Auburn. You got good schools. They're all SACS accredited. And my final point. Why are you whining? Because somebody found a loophole and wants to come to our state and talk to some of our kids? Heaven forbid we give all of our teenagers, all of our impressionable 17 and 18-year-olds and 16-year-olds the full amount of information to let them know that there are schools up north. How xenophobic are we? Really? Them dare Yankees are going to take our kids. We don't want them snow bunnies bringing it down here. Is that what they're called? Down here and talking to our babies. I got a self-respecting young man named Cletus. And he is going to go to Georgia. And I ain't going to have nothing against it.
You sound more Mississippi than you do Georgia on that.
Well, maybe he wants to go. Maybe from Mississippi, he wants to go to Georgia. The point is, what are you really worried about? Did the SEC not win, 800 national championships in a row recently?
Something like that.
Do they not have a team following that in the national championship game? And do they not have a team in the inaugural college football playoff semifinals after that? Feels like they did. Feels like football can still be played in this state. Did it not one point the college football playoff have three SEC teams in its top four?
It did. Two happened to be from state of Mississippi.
What are we worried about? What are we worried about? Take a break. I need to get to one, but I want to talk about Jim Harbaugh's middle finger to the University of Everybody Who's Whining. And that was in a tweet in a camp called Exposure U. I want to talk about that next here on the Sports Club. We own that. We own that.
We own that. We own that. We got to pick up. We own that. The only way to pick up is to get your funky jam.
pass down. Only way to pick up is to get your funky jazz down.
We own that. We own that. We own that.
Welcome back in. It is the Sports Flood. Glad to have you aboard. That may be the only basketball reference that happens in the show today. Quick other thought about satellite cams. You know what? Let me just go ahead and get to this, and we'll talk about it. So we're on the satellite camp issue, and by we, I mean me. On the satellite camp issue. And really, it's a big deal for everybody. Everybody's, wah, they're coming to our sales. Wait. I'm Nick Saban. I only have like 6 national championships. Wait. Well, I have like 4. Wait. I have a bunch of SEC championships. Wait. I have another number one recruiting class. Wait. How dare Michigan come into my state? Really not an issue. But Jim Harbaugh sees you. He hears you, Coach Malzahn, and Coach Saban, and Coach Richt. So yesterday, at Coach Jim 4UM. As a collegial gesture, we invite coaches from every college to be involved in our football camp. Hashtag compete. Hashtag exposure you. Attaches a flyer and an image, and here it is. We hope to see you at Exposure U 2015, U as in the Miami U University. Our vision for the University of Michigan football camp, which is in all caps, is to bring together players and coaches in all different levels from around the country to provide maximum exposure for our great game of football, not Michigan, football. In a collaborative effort, we will strive to provide the best possible experience for campers. It is our goal to have representation from every football-playing college in America. That's in caps. We invite a maximum of 2 coaches per college or university to participate in teaching the game of football properly. In addition, we will have the top high school coaches from around the country in attendance and or instructing technique, skill, and scheme. We encourage current high school football players as well as incoming high school freshmen to enroll as soon as possible to ensure a spot in the 2015 camp. Where college coaches are restricted from working a camp outside a 50-mile radius of their campus, we cordially invite your head football coach to be our keynote speaker. So save the date, June 14th through the 17th. Sincerely yours in football, Jim Harbaugh. Well done.
Yes, it was.
Well done.
The man is a not very, very good orator.
The man just stuck it to all of our men here in the SEC. And whatever San Francisco did to lose Jim Harbaugh, God bless you. Because college football is already better for it. He has invited every coach in the country to come to his camp on his campus. He's invited every football player, basically, in the country to come to his camp on his campus. And he says things like, sincerely yours in football. Sincerely yours in football? How balling is that outro?
The only thing that would have made that better would have been if he did James, whatever his middle name, Harbaugh. Like James, the first initial,
James
the middle name.
Harbaugh.
James C. Harbaugh or whatever. Esquire.
James Joseph Harbaugh, Esquire. Coach Harbaugh deserves a huge round of applause. You know what? We should induct him in the Hall of Fame, not the facepalm of shame.
No facepalm for him.
Because he gets it. And it's a little bit of a sense of humor, too. But he basically says, I hear all you guys whining, moaning, complaining about me being in Prattville, Alabama. Fine. You guys are such babies about that. How about you bring your hoity-toity rears straight up to my college? Everybody's allowed to come here and teach
slash recruit right on my campus, right at my football facility. Come on in, you jackasses. I have a seat for you. Auburn, you can bring Gus Malzahn and Will Muschamp. Bring them on in.
Oh, that would be glorious. Yes. Muschamp and Harbaugh in the same room.
Harbaugh.
Please give me that. I want that right now.
Jim Harbaugh says Nick Saban, Kirby Smart. Come on up. Lane Kiffin.
Actually, yeah. Make it Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban and have like 2-on-2 tag team tournament.
Not only that, he basically says to Nick Saban, to Mark Richt, to Gus Malzahn, to Jimbo Fisher, I invite you to be our keynote speaker. That's right. You'll have everyone's undivided attention to lay out your process, lay out your plan.
What if every coach in the SEC decided to come up there? How is he going to decide who the keynote is going to be?
It's a three-day camp. You can 14, 15, 16. It's a four-day camp. You can do as many keynotes as you want. You know, keynote does feel like it should be like one guy at the end of each day or the one guy at the very end of it. Which coach do you think from the SEC would actually accept this invitation? Because I have one that I know would accept this invitation.
Oh, I know one or two.
If really had a chance. I think if he really were not worried about how people would perceive him, I think Brett Bielema.
Oh, I was going to go Butch on this one.
I can see Butch, but I can see Brett Bielema. Brett Bielema is the guy that coaches basically in jogging pants and flip-flops almost. He was on a nationally televised show promoting his game where the SEC Nation was, and he was wearing a tracksuit and flip-flops.
He cooks while his wife is out doing yard work.
Let me tell you.
Haven't you seen that?
This guy will. I'm telling you, this guy will do it. Brett Bielema should accept, and that should be a televised event. At least record it so I can watch it. If it's not going to be live, I want to see it recorded.
What about Les Miles?
This is what Big Ten Nation, Big Ten Network should do.
Les Miles. Send Les Miles and his crazy, crazy self up there. That would be, it writes itself. It's comedy gold.
It's 100% gold. By the way, still, I don't know why. Every time I think of Les Miles, I almost always think about my favorite quote about a coach. And it's not even a quote. It's more of a joke. But it's like, if you want to take the road to the national championship, why wouldn't you take the one with Les Miles? Grammatically incorrect, but still great.
Yeah, that's those guys.
That's fine with me. This is years ago when I first saw this, so it's not mine either. So Jim Harbaugh, James Joseph Harbaugh, has called everybody out. Not anybody in particular, but everybody. And I am a huge fan of this. Because if I take a quick look at who do you respect for recruiting rankings? Rivals, ESPN?
If anybody, Rivals.
Rivals, college football recruiting classes. Rankings. How about that for 2015?
That'll work.
All right. Now, these are the team rankings, which is what I definitely want. Number one, USC. 2, Alabama. 3, Florida State. 4, Clemson. 5, Tennessee. 6, Georgia. 7, Auburn. 8, LSU. 9, Ohio State. That's your first Big Ten team.
And how many SEC teams were in front of that? 6?
LSU, Auburn, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama.
All right, 5, my bad.
What are we worried about, people? That all of a sudden people see that Michigan's a place that people would go and say, well, I didn't know Michigan existed before, but now I think I kind of want to go. I know Alabama's got this returning offensive line. They'll have a starter back next year, possibly a quarterback. We'll see what happens. But I ain't interested in going there when I could go to Michigan. And Michigan's still a name brand. It's not like he's doing this for Central Michigan. We're all worried about how the one thing we've always been able to hold true during the Depression, during Reconstruction, the one thing that we always seem to have ours, football, college football, is that's going to be challenged and overthrown. Quick reminder, you haven't won an SEC title, a national title in 3 years, SEC. There are other teams out there. 866-485-9867 is your number to get in. If you have any thoughts on that, we'll wrap up satellite camps. Yeah, it's officially no longer afraid of satellite camps.
I'm not. I've never been. I don't really care.
Penn State finished 15th, by the way.
Whoop-de-doo.
Whoop-de-doo indeed.
And when was the last time Penn State even was, like, worth anything in college football, to be honest?
There was a couple years right before Joe Paterno started letting John Molester do.
Cold.
866-485-98. That's what you get on a Saturday show. Uncut, unfiltered, and probably uncalled for radio. More sports luck coming up next, including Peyton Manning has a big gift for the University of Tennessee. And boy, do they need it. That's next.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you. I'm coming after you, you coward. I think it is damn overrated. You set it off.
Set it off.
Telephone commercials, I seen ya dancing and tight as a ballerina. I knew all along you had those tendencies, cause you've been running from macho like I got a disease. Dude, please, your pay-per-view event was a joke. You're avoiding Randy Savage cause you know you can smoke. Come on, that phony fight the
rock. Oh my God, I love this song so much. I love this song. How old is this song? It's like 2002?
2003 to be exact.
2003. Oh my God, I love this song. Be a Man by Macho Man Randy Savage.
Well, that is our theme for the day on the music.
Love Be a Man?
Well, no. I'm talking about songs made by athletes. The previous song, Iman Shumpert's theme for the Cavs for the playoffs this year. And then we're going to get into some more fun because there is some great songs.
Well, I'm ready. Falling on my laces tweets in. There's gold in these here hills, and we don't want these damn Yanks taking anything from mining yarn. Hashtag Roll Tide. I don't think it's just an Alabama issue, but I do think it does feel like a Southern issue. Let's go to the First Family Mortgage O-line now. I'll tell you about Peyton Manning's big gift to the University of Tennessee coming up. But first, let's visit with Josh on the First Family Mortgage O-line. Josh, welcome into the flood.
I had a quick question about the upcoming draft. I know most people have the Titans at number two taking Mariota or the Williams guy from USC. They take Mariota as the second overall pick. What are the chances of them trading that pick to another team, say Phillip Rivers, and what you've heard on that?
All right. Go ahead. Is that it? Okay. We're on a bad line with you, Josh. The question was, I think everybody heard it. Man, that line sucked. Not Josh's fault. Maybe not Josh's fault. I don't think we have some bad lines here. I think if I were to guess right now, the chances that Marcus Mariota is the second overall pick to the San Diego Chargers because the Chargers trade Phillip Rivers as the picks to get to number two, if I were to guess, and it's not a pure guess, there's some education in this, I say right now it's probably 80%.
I would agree with that. I mean, from what I'm hearing is that San Diego is looking for something more along with Phillip Rivers for Mariota, and that's going to be the real question on that.
I was texting a guy who's close to Phillip Rivers, close-ish, and he seems to think that he is doing whatever he can or whatever he possibly can, which is not that much other than make his pronouncement be known that he's not interested in being in San Diego much longer than if we get it done, Tennessee, by all means, get it done. He's not going to stand back the season, but I do think that he will end up being a Tennessee Titan. As of now, depends on how much San Diego asks or how much Tennessee asks for that number two pick, which could always be that thing. Right now, it seems like they're moving in the right direction, but does Tennessee try to get greedy? Maybe.
I really think it's going
to
be
I think Tennessee will try to get greedy, but will San Diego give it to them?
I think San Diego is going to be wanting too much for that for Phillip Rivers. And, I mean, you're trading Rivers for a quarterback that has not been proven in the NFL, unlike Phillip Rivers, somebody who has been 9 years straight without missing a start. That's very key right there. The best ability is availability.
This is the... He threw the line down. Your best ability is availability. I think San Diego's got themselves an interesting quandary, which is there's going to be a new team in Los Angeles soon, within like probably the start of next year, maybe. Will, by the time this new stadium is built and San Diego becomes one of those teams, will Phillip Rivers be the guy that you want to face the franchise? Why does it matter right now? You're not going to have that stadium now. I think Marcus Mariota is what San Diego sincerely wants. You can at least build early around someone like that. 866-485-9867. Peyton Manning did something pretty nice. In fact, he and his wife both did something nice. They donated $3 million to benefit the Volunteers Football Program and the Manning Scholarship Endowment. That's nice. Although they should have donated that money to the athletic department, which is still running in the red. That is awful. That's embarrassing. The Manning chose to honor two longtime supporters with their donation. Gate 16 at Elon Stadium will now be named the Gus Manning Gate in honor of Gus Manning, who served as SID, Sports Information Director, and Senior Associate AD, dating back to 1951. And the Athletic Dining Hall will be called the Carmen Togano and Deborah Togano Hall. I think that's what it's going to be called. Yeah, it'll be named under them. Excuse me, dining and in a new... It's a dining hall inside a residence hall. So it's like a cafeteria inside a residence hall.
Okay.
But you can name anything on a campus if you got the money. Let's go back to the First Family Mortgage Show line. Now see if we got a good line with B-Ren. B-Ren, good morning.
What's going on, man?
Hey, B-Ren. Hey, hang up on B-Ren. Not to be rude, B-Ren. It's a terrible line. We're going to hang up and you call back. Mike, if you'll do that trick I do with the phone over there, B-Ren, give us like 2 minutes. Call back once we start to go into commercial break. We'll get that ironed out. That way we'll give you a nice, clean line.
Sounds good.
Yes, not bad. 866-485. What? Wait on that. 9867. We always seem to, if we don't do that trick on the phone, we have to get creative here. You know, this system dated back to 1985. If we don't get creative,
yeah,
we will get a wonky line.
This system is as old as us. Really? I mean, really? Come on.
Sorry about that, Josh, as well. That's not Josh's fault. Appreciate him listening in, by the way. So Peyton Manning donates $3 million to the University of Tennessee. I should have given it to, like, Dave Hart a while ago. When we come back, there is more sports blood coming up, including Bruce Jenner was a dude. Now is not a dude. He's the opposite of a dude. A lady. That's next. Sports blood.
You ask me if I love you, and I choke on my reply. I'd rather hurt you honestly than mislead you with a lie. And who am I to judge you on what you say or do? I'm only just beginning to see the real you. And sometimes when we touch,
the honesty's too much. I have to close my eyes. This is Manny Pacquiao, by the way. It's the only reason we would play this godforsaken song. By the way, in this version of the song, Manny Pacquiao doesn't sound miserable. It doesn't sound great, but it doesn't sound miserable.
That's a whole lot of production right there, buddy.
Although it could be my deafness kicking in. Again, 866-485-9867. Let's go to the First Family Mortgage O-line. We got B-Ran back on a much better line, I assume. B-Ran, good morning.
What's going on, man?
Oh, that's crystal clear. What's up, buddy?
Oh, not much. I think Tennessee will find a way to mess this deal up with Rivers, but I think Rivers wants to come back home. I think Mike's right in what he said. San Diego wants two first-round picks is a rumor that I heard. you can't give up two first-round picks for him. I mean, I just don't see. He's a good quarterback, and he'd be a great fit at Tennessee, but I can't see that being a fair trade.
Right. I have the only information that I know that I've tried to sort of get on the inside with is that I know he really, really wants to be back home, and that he's really made it clear that he wants to be back home. But we don't have the inside as far as what's been asked for. But I have heard the two first-round picks, which is really a lot to ask. No one's going to make the Mike Ditka giving away your entire draft for a Ricky Williams mistake again.
Well, and, you know, for an unproven quarterback, you know, I mean, and Mariota's from out there. So, you know, this deal actually makes sense for everybody. I mean, Rivers gets to pretty much come back home. Mariota gets to stay at home. And then everybody's happy. I mean, so if these two coaches and GMs can't find a way to make this work, you know, I think Tennessee's blown it yet again.
Well, that's the thing, but it does depend on what we were just talking about. How greedy do the Titans get? Because the Titans, for all intents and purposes, I love using that phrase since Bruce Jenner used it last night. We'll play it next hour. The Titans are in a spot that they never want to be in again, the number two pick. So how much power do they want to how much pressure they want to put on right now?
And, I mean, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to take Mariota? I mean, you know, because, I think Rivers is a better fit at Tennessee, and, you know, I don't think Tennessee can gamble on taking Mariota because you don't know how good he's going to be. I mean, you don't know what he's going to be like in the NFL. I mean, he looks great on paper. He looks great on film, but he ain't played an NFL snap yet. So I'd like to see him trade around, and I'd like to see Rivers come to the Titans. I think that would benefit everybody. But, you know, who knows? It's the NFL, so, you know, Josh Gordon may end up at Tennessee for all we know.
B-Ray, appreciate the call, man. Hey, by the way, send me. I know the Miracle League started back. Send me information so I can get out to that. All right, please. Is he off?
He's off.
Okay, yeah. B-Ray, if you're listening, the Miracle League. I need information for that so I can come out and play around, have some fun with that. The Miracle League is very cool. I think they trade around. They would like to. I think the only good news is if you're Tennessee, you can get this greedy. You know, you're not completely mortgaging your future if you do get rid of this pick. Or even if you do take this pick, be a quarterback. Obviously don't want it to become a bust situation, but honestly, I don't think either one of these quarterbacks are going to be a franchise guy. I think you start looking into it's next year's draft. How deep is that quarterback? We'll talk more about that next. Sports Flood.
3.9 FM.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shay.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Welcome back in. Happy Saturday to you. It is the second hour of the Sports Flood. The second hour of two, by the way. So this is your last chance to get in for this week. And to get your voices heard, ain't nothing local happening around here after this show. You guys better calm down. Recognize this show is legit on the weekends, man. You think the ump's awesome during the week with the Cole Kubrick show, the Tom Abraham show. It is. But the Sports Flood got you on Saturdays. What do other stations got? Not a thing. National shows? That's bogus. After Moose and Maggie, it's me, Arky Shay. Glad to have you aboard. So much we already talked about. I feel like I spent the entire first hour on satellite camps. But them dare Yankees can't come after our boys. Josh B-Rank called in. Very respectable calls all about the Titans. None of them want to talk about satellite camps, which is what I spent the first hour talking about.
Maybe it shows you people's opinion on what they think about satellite camps.
Or maybe I was able to calm their fears. And they're like, you know what? He's right. It's not a big deal.
Arky Shea, the football fan whisperer.
What is a big deal is when a dude becomes a chick.
That is kind of a big deal.
It's kind of a big deal because... well, because you're talking about lopping off body parts. And Bruce Jenner is a dude who's becoming a chick. And Bruce Jenner last night was interviewed by Diane Sawyer on ABC about becoming a chick. And now, I'm going to save my opinions for afterwards. I just want to set this up for you like a professional radio show host would. Bruce Jenner, a lot of people have seen him having some strange behavior, really just looking strange. Looking like he got his Adam's apple shaved a little bit, that it's been up down a little. He's got really long hair, he's looking a little effeminate. And that's where everybody went. Bruce Jenner, are you becoming a chick? Well, Diane Sawyer asked that question.
Are you a woman?
Yes, for all intents and purposes, I am a woman.
Pause
I was not.
What?
I didn't know a woman was named Bruce.
For all intents and purposes, I'm a woman. Keep playing.
Not genetically born that way. As of now, have all the male parts and all that kind of stuff, but we still identify as female.
Mike, you know me as what? A champion of the people.
You are right? A human rights activist.
I'm a human rights activist. This is bonkers.
How you have all the male parts, but you're a woman?
Look, I know he has the twig and berries. I'm not worried about that. And I'm not worried about you how you're identifying yourself. And this is probably as insensitive as it's going to come. I'm ever going to say. By the way, stay tuned. There's a Tennessee rape investigation happening, and I got that later. If you want to talk about insensitive. Bruce Jenner, and I don't want, and I don't care that Bruce Jenner was a decathlete, and that he was the everyman, and that he was the guy on the Wheaties box, and he was the epitome of dude-dom.
But the epitome of dude-dom, really?
This guy, Bruce Jenner, I'm looking at him, he kind of looks like a girl.
Yeah, he looks like a chick.
Looks like an older woman.
The Botox really got to him.
I am beyond flabbergasted at people. And I don't think this is some ego trip. I don't think this is a grab of attention. A lot of effort to go through to get attention, I understand. I will never understand waking up every day and thinking I'm a lady. I will never understand
you
it.
You would make one butch, ugly lady. Holy God.
Listen, me and Chad Bono could have sweet, sweet madness.
Wow.
And here's the thing. Most... and I've read up on some statistics of this, so let's calm down. I'm not just talking out my rear end here. Most dudes who become ladies don't do it so they can then be with dudes. It's so they can still be with ladies. So he basically sees himself as a lesbian woman. Which is... more twists and turns than Inception could give me. Bruce Jenner, quote, I was not genetically born that way, talking about being a woman, is beyond bonkers to me. Like, legitimate, you need some therapy.
I mean, granted, if you heard the interview, there was some very powerful words that he spoke.
Sure,
and
like,
very big,
dude.
Well, I mean, if you look into the detail, but with him being connected to that K word that people either love or absolutely hate, that's why I feel like this was somewhat of a publicity
stunt.
Oh,
no. This is too far for publicity. Too far.
You don't know how far those people... I mean, there was a sex tape that brought that name back into the world.
It was a sex tape from a nobody.
Yes, exactly. And now she's become like one of the top five biggest money draws.
It wasn't a no-name. Kim Kardashian's releasing a book of selfies this summer.
Yeah, but that's how that family got into the limelight.
He didn't get into the limelight that way.
He got into the limelight in this day and age being part of that family.
The family got into the limelight first by being attorneys for the OJ case.
Actually, he wasn't even an attorney, I believe. I thought Robert Kardashian was just a friend and he read the suicide note.
I think he was an attorney. This guy was world famous when it mattered to actually win Olympic gold medals.
Yes, in 1980. What year are we in now?
How would him having to stay relevant with the sex change be a big deal when he is, or even
I'm not talking about staying relevant. I mean, he was...
That's what a publicity grab would be.
I said somewhat of a publicity stunt, because also, if you heard what he said some very powerful stuff and some very emotional stuff. But you do it on ABC, you get Diane Sawyer. That's where I see a little bit of publicity stunt going. Because my Twitter timeline was so weird last night. It was first Bruce Jenner, then it was the Spurs... I did not know what to think about last night, honestly, in the social media world. It got really weird.
I think this is 0% of publicity stunt. I think we are so curious because he is someone that is not known. And for the younger generations, he is known as being with the Kardashians. But he is not known. He is still a known commodity. I think people still, especially when it started happening more, I'm just surprised it's happening at 65. You know, he said that he told his first two wives about the gender confusion. Ugh. I can't imagine being a part of that conversation. If Mrs. Arkey tells me she wants to become a dude...
How
that's game over.
How would that make you feel that you turned her into a dude?
That's how I don't go and kill myself. It's that I don't think it's me. I was like, oh well, I guess two different boats. Sorry. Can't be a part of this. Cannot be a part of this. Yes, six biological children, four stepchildren. He said he told them and his mother recently. They all cried, he said, quote, mainly because they didn't want anybody to hurt dad. They are very protective of me. Well, yeah, it's family. Asked about the reality show, Jenner told Sawyer, the one real true story in the family was the one I was hiding, and nobody knew about it, and I could not tell that story. You're telling me Keeping Up with the Kardashians isn't like an actual documentary film series?
I hadn't even watched it. I hadn't even seen 1 second of it, so I have no clue what is going on with that show.
He would talk about being a kid, saying, I marked the closet so when I put it back, meaning his mother and sister's dresses, I could put it all back, everything back in the exact same spot so I wouldn't get caught. And at the time, I didn't know why I was doing it, because besides, it just made me feel good. He says, as an adult, Jenner wore women's clothing in hotel rooms when he traveled often as a motivational speaker. Quote, I'd literally go up to the hotel room, change into women's clothes, and walk around. There's a funny thing. He was watching some of the footage from the 76 Olympics. He said the person who won the decathlon was, quote, running away from who I was. Oh, that's funny. You see, He was actually running. He's like, I'm actually running away. Ah, I'm a girl. He self-identifies as a her. He says he's not gay. I am, as far as I know, heterosexual. I've always been with women raising kids. He's telling you this. I just told you that. He ain't gay. He wants to be with the woman as a...
This
he wants to be with a woman.
This is getting really weird. Very weird.
Getting weird. Been weird. Look, I'm an activist for gay rights. I really am. I think gay rights are important. I think people rights are important. I think this is weird. I think this is weird. I think you tell me that there's a woman living inside of you is crazy. It's beyond crazy. I mean, what can I say next? I'm a man living with a duck-billed platypus inside me. I want to become what I am inside. Where does this stop? And I'm not saying that it's a slippery slope like that, but it just feels like that's something that needs therapy. I have a woman inside of me. That dude was traumatized as a kid, probably. 866-485-9867. If you want to talk about Bruce Jenner becoming a lady, B_Ran18 tweets in. Now Ed Arkache is talking about becoming a lady on At the Sports Flood. What's next? Hashtag partners. Look, guys. Not gay. All right? But I support the gay movement. Because this is just a civil rights movement. Anyway. Ball on Malasis tweets in. Guess Kris Jenner can actually keep Bruce's balls in her purse now. Oh, 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 that's rough. That's rough. Let me take a sip of my drink from that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's delicious. He also tweets in, Bruce Jenner learned how to grab publicity from the Kardashians, and they do that like no other. Hashtag go get it.
So somebody does somewhat agree with me.
I mean, I agree. He got paid for this. Sure, he got paid for this interview. It's entertainment. I think this is real. I just think it's real nuts, too.
I'm in the same boat on that one.
866-485-9867. Speaking of transgendered, when we come back, we'll talk about Brittany Griner being arrested for assault and domestic... What happened?
Bravo, touche. I like that.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Flood. Bruce Jenner's theme song coming in when we come back. Glad to have you guys. 866-485-9867 if you would like to get in on the show. Domestic violence is never funny.
No.
Sometimes. WNBA's Brittany Griner and fiancé have been arrested for assault. Allegedly attacking each other. And what happened? According to the police report, Griner told two cops the two had been fighting for days and were having serious, quote, relationship issues. They're both arrested for attacking each other in Phoenix. Law enforcement sources tells us cops were called to Griner's home around 4:30 on Wednesday after receiving a call about a dispute between the two women. When the cops arrived, we're told officers minor physical injuries on both. Both women are arrested and booked in Maricopa County for assault and disorderly conduct. Griner, you guys may or may not know, you probably don't, plays for the Phoenix Mercury. The two got engaged last August and have been planning to get married next month in Phoenix. Don't know if that's still happening. For the specific incident, cops say there were several people at the home when they began to argue, and the fight turned physical. Cops say Brittany admitted to throwing a dog ball at the wall. The two began fighting. I'd admit to that. All our bruises? All I know is I threw a dog ball at the wall. I blacked out after that. Continuing on to the story, Glory, who is the fiancée, Her sister eventually called the police because people couldn't get them apart, and she didn't want anyone to get hurt. Officers say Brittany has several cuts and a bite wound. Glory was bleeding from the lip. The WNBA says it is actively investigating the incident. This, my friends, is why the WNBA should really take a hard look at this. If the NFL has to, and the NBA has to, and Major League Baseball has to, so does the WNBA. And by the way, everybody has to. Just because it's two ladies who are fighting each other doesn't not make it domestic. Now, one is more serious than the other, generally, because the dude is generally considered stronger than the woman, can do some serious damage based on just general fisticuffs. But you got to take it seriously. Sorry, I don't have anything funny for that.
Can't have anything funny for that, honestly.
Bruce Jenner had no comment. Moving forward, Jalen Collins. See, there's the funny. Got that in there. Jalen Collins allegedly failed multiple drug tests at LSU. Former cornerback Jalen Collins is the list of Tigers to have some drug baggage issued to his name. Albert Breer of the NFL Network reported via Twitter on Friday that Collins failed multiple drug tests while at a college. Breer's tweet was, 1. Changing attitudes towards drugs. LSU cornerback Jalen Collins is a test case. He had multiple failed tests in college for sources with 4 teams. 4 teams. Brian Fisher noted on NFL.com, the news of failed drug tests does not seem likely to affect the draft stock for Collins. They're going to be interested in him no matter what. Are we worried about drugs anymore in football?
Certain type of drugs, yes. Something that will not be a performance enhancer, no. And something that is legalized in 2 states, no.
Drugs in general can be a minor red flag depending on how much you do them. Doyle Green Beckham could be an issue. Just anybody who's had an issue with a drug arrest or who's had an issue with a drug citation or all these drug tests we hear about that happen at school, on campus. These drug test issues could be severe. Generally, though, they're not. Sorry, am I making noise?
Yes, I can hear that noise.
Professional radio show host.
Sometimes.
Rarely. Sorry, worried about drugs. Drugs can be like a slight red flag, but I think it's going to be interesting to see going forward how more domestic violence issues become a bigger red flag than drugs. Drugs can still be like a, hey, he was popped once for having less than half a, what do they call those, grams?
Yes.
Half a cigarette in his pocket. You got that issue. You got the guy who habitually gets busted. And then you have the issue of what other red flags are bigger. I think domestic violence is going to end up becoming a big issue for guys.
It's going to be the biggest red flag out of all of it. It'll be the deal breaker if any other, like, of all the problems, if you have that one problem, you have history of domestic violence, you're done.
I think it's more so than probably would have been even 2 years ago.
And also, I think it's going to be more into coaches when they start recruiting players. They're going to look more into their family history and see how they grew up. Because if you're living with people or if your family has a problem with domestic violence, if I'm a coach, I mean, the kid could be Peyton Manning, but I'm not going to get him. I'm not going to go after it. I'm not going to take that risk.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think you wonder, though, at what point is the red flag too dark for you to go after? And, you know, it's not exactly apples and apples, but, you know, Aaron Hernandez dropped because he had issues at Florida. I mean, he was a first-round talent that went in the 4th round. Now, I don't think anybody was expecting him to go commit double murder, but it's a red flag. how big are the flags? You'll never, you know, only so often do you get a Ray Lewis accusation or a Ray Carruth or an Aaron Hernandez. It's not like every year that there's one NFL guy who's been indicted on murder charges. But he still had red flags. And I wonder if they'll go back and see what red flags they had for Aaron Hernandez and cross-reference those with what red flags they'll have for really anybody else. And just say, look, these failed tests, these issues he had off the field, these arrests maybe for DUI or for stealing a credit card or for whatever it is, what if these mean anything going forward that just make it a harder issue to say, look, we don't want to have crooks on our team. Except for the Dallas Cowboys, who decide to have a serial domestic abuser on your team. Good job, guys. Good job.
Yeah, signed him. Now he gets 10 games suspended. How's that going for you, Cowboy fan? How's that?
The appeal hasn't been heard yet. Roger Goodell doesn't hand out the punishment. He just listens to the appeal, so I'm sure it'll go great. We have more sports play coming up for you next. Tennessee's being investigated, or at least one of their players is, for a rape instance. And baseball is chippy again. And guess who's doing it this time? You're right. Another no-name team named Kansas City. That's next. Sports play.
Once again. Lawless. Come on. Right.
Yo, turn that up. Are you kidding me? I gotta hear Kobe do it.
Yeah, it's like this. What I live for? Basketball, beats and brawls. From Italy to the U.S. Yes, it's raw. I'm in search for.
I need you to find the song. Well, feel poor. Who can ignore that? Spotlight life for real. That star reminded me of that song. You know what is it? We're playing basketball. They're playing basketball.
That's not even close to it.
No. Go find that song. And I just want you to listen to the lyrics when we play it in a minute. I'll get to it. But the lyrics are just as general and vague as Kobe Bryant. What I live for? Basketball. What I live for used to be a UAB football. And I only bring this up because this morning UAB's having their graduation.
Yep, sure is.
And one young man graduating is named Derek Slaughter, and he was a former football player, and I say former because he's a senior, and because they don't have a football team, that's also true as well. No, don't get the version where you actually see the music video to it, because it'll make you just giggle too.
I got it.
It's
the advertisement.
Why is that an advertisement on this stupid song? Anyway. So Derek Slaughter is graduating, former UAB football player. He was a senior anyway. It's going to be his last year. He is graduating, and he decided to make one final statement about graduation and for the lack of football team. Derek Slaughter is wearing his football helmet to graduation.
Nice.
Tweeted out a picture this morning at dslaughter33. Game time. Time to graduate. Hashtag free UAB. Slaughter says he plans to keep the helmet on as he shakes University President Ray Watts' hand.
I wonder if Watts won't even shake it.
It would be quite disgusting if he didn't.
Well, he's already done many disgusting things. You see the report that came out this week?
But I think that's not something that was done in front of thousands of people.
No.
I think he'll shake everyone's hands. Now, I think there will be UAB players or UAB students who will not shake his, but I think he will be open to shaking people's hands. So Curtis Blow sings a song called Basketball, and Kobe just made me think of it. You just give it a couple beats and just listen to how vagary the words are. How general basketball words are. You haven't seen the music video by the way. They replay the scene that you're seeing right there probably 35 times.
Now rapping basketball, number one, Curtis Blow. Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way the dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king on the microphone. So is Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and
My favorite play is the alley. Ooh, I like the
I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley. Basketball's my favorite sport. I like it when they take it up the court. Curtis Blow is a half a step above a white guy rap. Which is, my name's Archie Shea, and I'm here to say, I play basketball every day.
I used to go to dinner. Yeah, we need an Archie Shea rap.
I'll work on that.
That's not, that would be not a bad thing, in my opinion.
Not the worst norm. I would like to thank 730 The Ump Twitter account for retweeting our tweet to start the show. Thank you for that. No, go back. Go back. Are you kidding me? Yeah. It's Saturday. What else are we doing?
Oh, yeah. Very true.
The fight scene, by the way, happening on a basketball court that's indoors.
It's karate. They're trying to do, like, some Bruce Lee type stuff.
You gotta watch this video. Tweet this out from the show account. Please, thank you. But don't do it right now. I'll it.
I could do multiple things at once.
Yeah, but I don't know if you tweet it out if it'll close it. I'm not Bill Russell didn't take no junk, and Daryl Hawkins got a monster dunk.
Daryl Dawkins.
What'd I say?
You said Daryl Hawkins.
Daryl Dawkins. Whatever, man. Chill out.
You gotta remember Chocolate Thunder, man.
It's Saturday, man. I missed one letter, and you're like all over my junk. Guess what?
Well,
I don't take no junk. Okay, you can tweet that out. I'm not tired of telling you about Mark D'Antonio and Michigan State spring game, which is today. The only reason I tell you it is because it's the system I prefer most if you're going to do a spring game, and if you have to. It's the fact that Mark D'Antonio has been doing it for years. He's not the first one to do it, but he's the one that brings it up today. It's they let the players draft each other. They separate the seniors and the coaches, does Mark D'Antonio, and he lets the players and the coaches from either side draft their team. I like that. I like that a lot. Because it's much better than ones and twos and threes, and ones. It's a spring game, for crying out loud. A spring football game. By the way, not a game. Not a game. Not a game.
Then why is the game, why is the word game in it?
Why
is... So it is a game.
It's as much a game as Milton Bradley's got all their games. Those are games.
Ooh.
Are they really games, or are they just a board you sit in front of you and it's just an activity?
Is there a winner and a loser?
You put board game. Yeah, technically there could be.
So, game.
Really?
Yes.
So golf's a game.
Yes. Winner, loser, game.
Okay. So everything's a game. Life is a game. How's that?
Life is a game.
When I pass you on the road, that's a game, right?
You could perceive it to be a game.
If I get there faster, I win, right, and you lose, right?
If the competition is agreed on them.
Oh, come on. Don't start giving me those parameters. Speaking of parameters, somebody who did not apparently have parameters, allegedly, is Tennessee wide receiver Von Pearson. He has been named by Knoxville police as a suspect in a rape investigation and has been suspended from the team. Pearson has not been charged in the case as of Friday evening. Police say Friday that an officer went to the University of Tennessee Medical Center at 6 a.m., to check on a report that a rape had occurred at an apartment Pearson named, this is terribly worded. Police say Friday that an officer went to the University Medical Center in Tennessee at 6 a.m. to check on a report that a rape had occurred at an apartment, period. Pearson is named as a suspect in that report. Jimmy Stanton, who is the athletic department spokesman, is suspended indefinitely from all activities. Do you know what the Tennessean uncovered, Magic Mike? Fan of Tennessee.
All right. What did they?
It's one of six players from last fall's roster to be named and accused of sexual assault.
Yeah, this ain't good. This isn't good at all.
Six is a big number for just one roster. This isn't in Butch Jones' football career.
Pearson,
kind of a big deal.
It's bad, and yes, it is a big deal, but you know what? One person does not make a football team. One person
come on, Saban.
One person can make a baseball team, one person can make a basketball. Well, actually, I take that back. Two people can make a basketball team.
How football? Can one person make a baseball team and it takes two to make a basketball team? That's 40% two versus superstars. 18%.
All you need is two superstars. You can have a bunch of crap along with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bill Michael Jordan made player. Bill Weddington famous.
Is he famous anymore?
Everybody could still say Bill Weddington.
Well, you could because you brought it up. I didn't think about Bill Weddington at all.
Everybody, like Luke Longley. Think about it. Luke Longley, Bill Weddington, tall white boys, made famous by Michael Jordan.
Ronnie Harper?
Yes, Ron Harper. Yeah.
So as opposed to answering the question, you went and started talking about the Bulls. That's fine.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing. You're completely trying to circumvent the system.
It is very bad, and it really needs to be fixed soon. Not soon. It was supposed to be fixed yesterday, but it ain't.
Now, the offensive lineman did have his I guess that was a Florida receiver. The offensive lineman that was accused of stealing an Xbox and selling it in some games, I think three games, those charges were dropped, so that's good. But it looks like Fulmer comes back in Knoxville.
I would say
pretty
so.
Pretty nice, huh?
Yeah. I mean, Bammers did name it the Fulmer Cup because they don't like Fulmer, and, yeah, it resides in Knoxville again. So, I mean, it really –
between Tuscaloosa and Knoxville right now.
Yeah, this whole issue really just needs to get fixed, and needs to get fixed real bad. And right now, Butch Jones, granted
– We say that, and it feels like a nice platitude, but how do you fix – guys raping people.
Well, here's also the other problem. Here's also the other problem is that you have that allegedly. The best option is what Butch did with AJ Johnson last year, and that was suspend him indefinitely right then and there. Don't let him play until it all plays out. That should be the way to do it. Because even if the woman does lie and they recants her story, the school at least saves face. If, like, say, they let him play, but then they come to find out he actually committed the crime.
Well, and we just saw this happen. If it's a lie. Now, I'm not going to sit here and start saying that rape allegations should be immediately suspect. I don't think that should be anywhere near where our lexicon goes. But we just had this happened in Florida, where a quarterback was accused of taking advantage of a woman and then was suspended and then had to sit out a couple. And then finally the investigation showed that Treyon Harris, who I'm talking about,
yeah,
did not actually do anything.
But it's in a situation like that, it's better to save face and better...
But Tennessee's doing the right thing. But I'm just saying, when we say we need to fix it, how in the world do you actually fix guys not raping people?
There really is no
perfect.
There is no perfect system for it.
That is part of a dude. If this is what you think is okay, that's not what a head coach is going to be able to fix. This is part of you as a dude and how you grew up. A coach isn't good. How many seminars does the head coach have to have? Say, all right, guys, welcome to Don't Rape 101. First item on the agenda, please don't rape anybody while you're ever alive. Class dismissed. How many times do you have to say don't rape people? It's like saying don't murder people, don't shoot people.
It's common sense. You're supposed to be raised with those thoughts. Not to rape. Your parents are supposed to teach you right from wrong. And that is part of the problem, is that some of these kids, they have their mothers that work two jobs, and they just have the mother, they don't have the father, and they see media and social media and that medium as more so something that is correct in society than having your mother. I mean, you can't help having to work two jobs to try and fend for your family. You can't. But it's what is being put out in the world today, and so much stuff that you could have any problems with anybody if not taught properly by your parents.
Sure, and that's what it's always come down to me is, where's your family? Where's your family? Who raised you? Did they teach you right from wrong? And not to say that you won't lean this way. There's not. Sure, you're dude. You got your hormones. You probably think about it. I thought. What?
Where were you going? Where were you going with that one?
We've all had this sort of thought when we were growing up as guys. It's like the invisibility thing. Like, ooh, what if I could be invisible, go into like a girl's locker room? Or what if I could be invisible and like grab a girl's boob and she wouldn't know? You know? Like when we were growing up, we were like 12, 13, 14 years old. But then, hopefully, someone taught you, hey, no raping. No. Bad. Bad archy.
Where's my newspaper so I can hit you on the nose?
866-485-9867. As long as you don't rub my nose in it when we come back. The Kansas City Royals are... idiots. That's next. Sports Flood.
Well, I've won and lost against the best. This old road's been a hell of a test. I'm still driving. I ain't slowing down. There's rules I love to break and bend.
This is John Daly.
I've made again and again. But I tell
for the record,
you
I would totally listen to John Daly at this country around. Sounds just like a Luke Bryan pretty close to a Blake Shelton. I could see this.
This is solid. This is extremely solid.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the show. Your chance to get in. 1-866-485-9867 on Twitter at Arkishe, at The Sports Flood, at Wump730, at Magic Mike Rose, at am I missing anything?
I'm sorry. I didn't pay attention. I know you went through The Sports Flood and you and me, but you went with the station.
Yeah,
we got a lot of stuff.
At following up my latest tweets, can we get an albino rhino freestyle real quick? # street cred. Sorry, not today, my friend. I have one major story I got to get out, and I only have a few minutes to do it. The Chicago White Sox and the Kansas City Royals had a battle. And I mean on the field and on the field. It was an on-field brawl Thursday night. White Sox manager Robin Ventura confirmed that, but after the brawl, pitcher Chris Sale, who started the night and was one of five guys ejected, tried to go to the Royals clubhouse. Sale was believed to have banged on the visitor's clubhouse door in the eighth, winning after the brawl. That's not my problem. My problem is what happened before it. The Royals have one guy. It's a pitcher named Yordano Ventura. Yordano Ventura got a comebacker up to him, caught the ball, and then screamed expletives at the batter. Threw the ball to first, and then the batter, who I'm trying to say, trying to figure out who that was. See if you can find out who that was, who was the actual batter for that at bat.
Adam Eaton. Adam Eaton ground out to...
Adam Eaton ground out, okay. For some reason, I was like, Adam Amin? Adam Eaton. He grounded out.
Not Adam Amin. He's the guest on the Cube Show.
Throws the ball over to first. Yaps. Adam Eaton looks back to Ventura. Starts mouthing again. Two sides get closer, an umpire tries to get it between them. Bench is clear. Yordano Ventura has had four starts this year.
Four starts, right.
Four starts. Left the game with a hamstring injury. Ejected. ejected.
At least he's consistent.
Your Donovan Chura is becoming the biggest DB on baseball's planet. Baseball is so up its own ass when it comes to this stuff. We gotta self-regulate this sport. It's the honorable way to do things. These guys are responding to games from the first of the year. It's almost May. Baseball players have a ridiculous affinity for having long memories.
Just
they
a little
don't
bit.
Like people who bat flipped 2 years before. They don't like people who get the best of them by getting a home run. So when a pitcher gives up a home run, if he wants to get a little chippy, but won't you just run around the bases? You got it, okay, son? I personally think that if you hit a home run off a pitcher, you can stare that thing down all you want. You can Manny Ramirez the crap out of it. You got the best of them. And if you throw at the guy the next time he's up there, I'll punch you in the balls. Bruce Jenner's, actually. I will punch you in those. Because that is so stupid. Because you should be motivated as an athlete, as a person. The next time, I really want to get this guy out. I mean, he made me look such like an idiot. I gave up a big home run to him. He stared it down. I really want to get this guy out. Instead, you're disrespected.
I have the perfect... I mean, Ventura is such a Mitch about this that it's just completely stupid, really.
1,000%. Yordano Ventura should be suspended for the rest of the All-Star break, or through the All-Star break. It's three times in 2.5 weeks.
And imagine when the Royals and the A's play again. Imagine when that's going to happen.
When the Royals and White Sox play again, I'm going to have to see someone whine about this one more time. And guess what, Royals? You're the Johnny-come-latelys. Guess what, jackasses? You've only been around for a year. And guess what? You have not earned this chip on your shoulder. You understand me? You have not earned it. Matt Miller on Twitter, he's an NFL scout, had the best line about this. He's a huge Royals fan. But he said, the Royals are the kid you picked on in Little League. In middle school. And his freshman year, he grew 4 inches, added 20 pounds, and now he wants to fight everybody. That's what it is. All of a sudden, you want to say, I've got to fight. You guys were so mean to me growing up. How about just win your ball games? Strike people out, hit your home runs, move on. Yordano Ventura should be shipped back off to wherever he came from. I don't know, he could be from Modesto, California. I don't know.
Or, like, say, put, like, 5 A's against him and make him feel like the real Mitch.
I would like to see him punched in the face. These baseball brawls are in check. Now, don't get me wrong, I like seeing them. And I like seeing them out the manager. It's cool for baseball. But do it for right reasons. Do it because somebody threw at your head because of something you did in the game. Not something from 3 weeks ago. Go, more sports fun! See you guys next week. Peace.